Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're proud bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Hardy. It's Ask Low Blows.
It's official. My co-host Katie Harvey is an absolute show muter. Mucher. Coming in just before our season ends and then like having the strongest opinions, like just as it's about to end. Like not dedicating the decade of your life that you need to, but coming in just as it's ending and getting involved. But I can easily reveal that after weeks of binging it and following along with our theories, Katie Harvey, just in time for the extended series of The Walking Dead, the 10th series, it's series 10B, I guess you call it, you have completed the set.
Yeah, I've finished, I'm done. I don't know what to do with my life right now. I don't know what to put on at nighttime. I don't know like what to do, but yes, I have completed it just in time.
You have to like go get theories now and you have to like start building up your repertoire in time for next Monday.
Oh no, like I'm already on that. Don't worry. Like I have so many theories. Like I am constantly informing Phil of my constant thoughts about it. So it's happening. I have theories. I have wishes. I have hopes. I have dreams. People I want to see survive to the end. And I can't wait. Can't wait for Monday.
Who do you want to see survive? Who do you want to see die now that we're all caught up?
Okay, right. King Ezekiel is my number one. I know. It's not looking great. I think he's going to end up in an advanced society. But, yeah. He's my number one. I still love Carol. Carol is still up there for me. Very intimidating.
Clearly the kid Grimes there in the background.
I hope Negan dies. I hope he's just eliminated. I really do. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion. I don't care. I still hate him. They'll never forgive him.
Okay, fair enough. Well, guys, like, look, now that we're caught up, what we've decided to do, because obviously, Dom, you're a huge fan of The Walking Dead as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Who's on your like list and who's on your shit list there?
Oh, like, Negan's my favorite. Like,
okay.
Negan's so good, and I love what they're doing with him as well, because it's a real slow burner with him as well, because, like, the end of season 8, like, he gets defeated and, like, he's captured or whatever, and then in season 9, you don't really see much of him. Like, he's just in a jail cell, but they're kind of planting the seeds as that season goes on. Like, they have him rescue, what's her name again?
Judith.
I haven't seen it in a while. Yeah, Judith, yeah. From, like, a snowstorm or something like that. And just kind of planting the seeds for his face turn. And then, like, he kind of plays with it as well with the Whispers in season 10. And it's just really interesting to see where it goes. And I think the big thing going into the next few episodes is to see what happens with Maggie and Negan. Like, I think that confrontation is going to be what everyone wants to see. But, I want Negan to survive. Judith will definitely survive as well.
It'd be really weird if she didn't. It'd be dark.
Like, if they killed
Daryl, Daryl is someone that I think could die. Genuinely, like, I think, like, in, like, the second last episode or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'll last pretty much the full way. But him and Carol, I think, I'm not 100% sure they're going to see it to the end. Maybe one of them will, but, like, I'm not sure both of them are going to see it to the end.
I think one would save the other. I think that's how it would go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think one out of those two have to make it to the end, just so they could say they have someone from, like, the very start make it to the end. Like, but I don't think both of them will.
I could see it, not like Endgame where with Hawkeye and Black Widow, but like something like that where one sacrifices. Yeah. I could see, and they're both like almost fighting, like, I'll sacrifice. No, I'll sacrifice or something like that. I could see that being possible. Guys, we love talking about The Walking Dead, but we also acknowledge that if you don't watch that show, you might love hearing about it. So we're going to tell you what we're going to do, because we're all obviously really excited, because on top of obviously Dom and Katie's opinions, Keen and I have done, and I might recirculate reiterate this actually. Keenan and I did a podcast not too long ago talking about our love of The Walking Dead and who our favorite characters and favorite storylines and stuff from the past while it was. So all of us are passionate about The Walking Dead here at Low Blows. What we're going to do is we're not going to do a Game of Thrones style show, but what we're going to do is we're going to take the last few minutes of every Ask Low Blows when the series comes back, and we're going to just talk about it for a few minutes for anyone of you guys who, like us, may be addicted to it. The reason we're doing that at the end is you can just stop listening at a certain point. It's going to be like, if you don't care, it's going to be like, right, bye, that's the end of the podcast. Now, The Walking Dead, let's go. But if you do like it, then you get to it. It's going to be a spoilerific conversation every week, so make sure before you listen, you have seen it. But Ask Low Blows will be released on the Friday, and it's going to air every Monday as well. So we're going to be doing that from next week onwards. Your timing was absolutely spot on, Katie, so we can jump right into that when the shows come back. Very, very exciting. Anyway, look, guys, are we ready to get to the questions?
Yes, I actually have a question. What's the next show whose bandwagon I need to jump on?
Right.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul, because it's heading towards his last series.
So
I didn't like Breaking Bad. I watched every episode and I didn't like it.
I know. Like, look.
Ridiculous.
It's a bad opinion you have. You know, they say all opinions are valid. They say a lot of things. Better Call Saul is the thing you should. But the Morbegs, Kento says.
I have actually seen all of them.
Of course you have. I could absolutely see you like dressing as a Morbeg for Halloween when you were a child. Absolutely, 100%. Guys, then get on. What's it called? I honestly think Better Call Saul is more your speed, Katie. It's very comedy heavy compared to Breaking Bad. Ooh. Yeah, and it is. And it's an excellent show. It's similar but different. But I put it up there with Breaking Bad. But I don't know, if you didn't like Breaking Bad, you may not like this.
It's worth a try, but like, give it a few episodes.
Oh.
So you have to give it a couple seasons, like, that's the thing. Because if you're not into it, if you're not into it straight away, you're not going to be into it until like 3 or 4, because that's when it ramps up. It is very slow moving, but if you love the characters, you don't care.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
it took me like 3 or 4 attempts to get through the first episode. That's why it took me so long.
Yeah, it is. It's slow. Well, it's a great character-based drama. Anyway, look, we'll continue that conversation as we go on. We'll figure something out for you, Katie. Anyway, we'll get into the questions. First up, we have a Desert Island Dilemma. But what I want to do is I want to invite a voice many of you longtime listeners on the Low Blows Network are very familiar with. Guys, welcome back to the show. The master behind the Desert Island Dilemmas, which we released 5 hours of every Desert Island Dilemma again. So you can never say we don't give you enough of these. With it being so successful and so much fun, we decided we're going to get David Kent, Kento CCFC on Twitter, former host of Paddy's New Yacht, currently of Buzz.ie and various Irish media outlets near you. Kento, how are you getting on?
Not too bad. I'm glad I can come on and clarify some things that could have happened on this magical island. And now, as it is a mountaintop that I never stipulated before, never said happened, never implied it would happen, but somehow things got out of hand on this show. I never could have seen it coming.
Is that directed at me?
Listen, just on this show.
Katie, I know you're off Twitter, so you mightn't have seen what's about to come. You're about to be careful. I hope you stay sitting down, okay? It gets dramatic here. Kendall, if you want to read out this week's dilemma.
So you were away for 2 weeks now. You gave me that big long 5-hour thing, but disaster has struck in the time away from the Siberian mountaintop, because an enormous hurricane rolled across the entire area. Luckily, you three managed to find shelter in the cave, but sadly, every tiger that randomly appeared 2 weeks ago was blown off the ravine.
I know.
They were our friends.
I don't make the rules here.
We literally do.
But wait, you turn around in the cave that you managed to shelter in, and who do you see? The Tiger King, Joe Exotic, Tony the Tiger, and Frosty's mascot, the starting 11 of Tigres FC, and Tiger Mask 1, Tiger Mask 2, Tiger Mask W, and Tiger Mask 5. Unfortunately, 3 and 4 also got blown off the ravine. So What would you rather have in this situation? First up, an Easter egg or a one-day-old pancake?
the darkest dilemma we have yet. There's deaths happening here.
So, just so I can clarify, we're on a Siberian mountaintop.
Yes.
We're in a cave.
Yeah.
There's a hurricane. And if I look out of this cave, I am just going to see a ravine full of dead tigers.
No, the ravine is a bit. The ravine is a bit far away. Like the hurricane, the helicopter that brought you there is also down there, but it's not like directly outside the cave. It's a bit far away.
It's not your view. It's not your immediate view.
You don't just look outside and it's just like a pit of dead Siberian tigers.
Okay, because that's what I was picturing. So
right. Okay.
I'm glad you're here to clarify these things. Okay, right. I've got to grips on it.
Easter egg or one day old pancake?
I don't like pancakes. I've had many arguments about this in the last week. It turns out I don't like Irish pancakes. I don't like the owl egg sugar fried in a pan with squeeze a lemon on top. They're rotten. So I'm going to pick an Easter egg because they're just much, much nicer and easier to share to placate the people around me.
Negan, Breaking Bad, and now pancakes are bad. You are on a roll from bad takes on this show. We're only getting started. Dom, which one did you go for?
Well, considering what you just said, you're not going to be happy with me now because I actually agree with Katie. I despise pancakes. So I'm going to go with the Easter egg.
Why do you despise pancakes? Who despises pancakes?
They're disgusting.
How are they disgusting? Were you force-fed pancakes at any stage?
They're just rotten. Just don't like them.
In school, they used to make us pancakes on Pancake Tuesday, and like you just used to have to put up with it. You know what I mean? Like you just had to sit there and eat pancakes, and I didn't like it.
You sound like you're someone talking about corporal punishment. You know, a lot of people have a lot of things worse in school, whereas like my teacher used to beat me with his belt and you're like, they made me eat pancakes on Pancake Tuesday. It's like, come on. Maybe you haven't got it that hard. Look at Dom's school. They used to shit everywhere in that school, right? Could have been worse. Jesus Christ. Go for the Easter egg as well. Similar logic is going to last longer. Pancakes, I learned, I ordered Deliveroo twice on Pancake Tuesday to different places to serve me pancakes in case the first place they wouldn't, they were probably pretty busy, but in case they recognized my name and thought I was sad for wanting more. I love pancakes, but I fly through them like they're gone straight away, whereas an Easter egg I can make last for months. Easter egg definitely 100%. So next up,
Negan or Joffrey Baratheon?
Oh,
has to be Negan.
Negan all day. This is easy for me. I think Katie's the one who's got the dilemma here.
Like, Negan has survival skills. You know what I mean? So if you're on his good side, you know, if Tiger Woods turned on you, he'd probably help protect you. You know, I don't know. Like, he seems to like to rescue people. But I also just hate him with passion. Whereas I've shared a Smyrny with Joffrey Baratheon, you know?
Also, just bias.
Joffrey loves the Smyrnies.
I've never shared a Smyrny with Negan. So if I'm basing it on Smyrnies.
and you absolutely should, in a matter of life and death.
No, but you know what? Joffrey was very annoying. Like, He was the worst.
I think you should probably clarify that you meant his character now, because you blurred the lines.
I've blurred the lines. The actor who plays Joffrey was very good natured when I drunkenly offered him a Smyrny. And the character is awful. Oh, okay. I'll keep Negan as well.
Oh shit! She's coming around. I think Katie likes Negan. She just doesn't want to admit it.
She's gonna jump on the bandwagon next season.
100%. 100. We've a year to break her down after these six episodes if they don't.
No. So
you're gonna come over to the dark side. Next up, Kento.
A DVD of Pulp Fiction or an audiobook of the Harry Potter series?
This is tough for me. I'm gonna let you guys answer first.
So does this mean like we have a DVD player to watch Pulp Fiction and something to listen to the Harry Potter? Or are we taking the DVD to like fashion a weapon?
You don't have any other electrical items. You just have a DVD of Pulp Fiction or an audiobook of the Harry Potter series.
Okay, so both are pretty useless to me.
Yeah, but you never know. Like, if you have an audiobook, someone from the starting 11 of Tigres might have something electrical, but you don't.
If you have an audiobook, though, like, you know, audiobooks only come like on the device that you get it. Do you know what I mean? So if I have an audiobook, I have something to listen to it on. Like, they don't sell books on tape anymore. Like, it's an audiobook. So that's a digital thing. What's that?
They used to though.
Yeah, they have cassettes in the library. I used to get them.
But you didn't say that. You said an audiobook. I'm going to hold you to your word, even though you're here.
You're doing a corporate keen when I just said a Big Mac and he somehow turned it into Rodney Mac a few weeks ago.
This is et and goes, Kanto. Et and goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You said, you don't make the rules, even though you do.
Okay, right. Well, Pulp Fiction is a film that I despise.
Awful takes.
I've tried to watch it like 3 times and I've turned it off 3 times. Look, we've had our arguments about this, about how I am not a Tarantino fan. So on one hand, would I pick the DVD because I would enjoy destroying it to fashion a weapon? Or do I want the entertainment of an audiobook? I think I'll fashion the weapon, because I think there's enough people in the cave with me that I can ask to tell me stories to entertain me. I think Tony the Tiger's got a tail. I mean, he does have a tail. He's a tiger. Well, hey.
Bad takes and worse puns. And here's the episode title.
What you didn't hear was Phil absolutely lose it in the room beside me.
Oh, brilliant.
Right, I'm going for the DVD.
What are you thinking, Dom?
Go with the audiobook, because like, that would last you a pretty long time, wouldn't it? Like, that's 7 books. Provided you have the medium to actually listen to it, like 7 books, like you don't know how long you're gonna be trapped for. So like, yeah, I'm gonna go with the audiobook.
Yeah, it's the audiobook all day. This would have been interesting if I had another electrical device to watch these on, and if it was the Tarantino collection rather than just the one movie. Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie of all time, but like, yeah, Harry Potter's going to get me through this. Anytime in life when I've like kind of been like going through like, you know, a transition where I've been moving or this or that or the other, Harry Potter is like my go-to for safety. So in a situation like this, I definitely want to lean on Harry Potter anyway. And just the sheer amount of them, Stephen Fry narrates the audiobooks as well. Oh, and he does the voices, but not in like an over-the-top way, like not in cheesy way. You buy into it and you know exactly whose voice he's doing straight away. He does it brilliantly. So yeah, like being there for weeks, Stephen Fry, I'd be like, I'm actually kind of into this situation. If it wasn't for like the immediate hypothermia risk, I'd be really I'd be okay with being stuck with Harry Potter audiobooks. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you told me my family are Harry Potter audiobooks, I might still pick the audiobooks. I'm not going to lie.
Got a question for next week then.
There you go. So I'm going the audiobooks.
Next up, a nose plug or an ear plug?
Oh, I have to go for earplugs, because if I had a nose plug, I would just panic because I would forget that I had one on and then thought I just wasn't breathing. So,
do you fall down a lot in everyday life by any chance? Or just like you forget you're breathing? Okay.
Yeah, though, have you ever met someone who's broken both of their arms at the exact same time?
Yeah, so I on that logic, I'm going for the earplugs.
Dom, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the earplugs. I don't really have a reason. I'm just going to, you know what, I'll go with Katie's reason in case that somehow happens to me where I forget to, you know, breathe.
I'm going to utilize the fact that we have the questionnaire. What's the benefit to the nose plug? Is it going to be smelly here?
You never know. There's 11, you've 11, at least 11 other people. You got the Tiger King. He's a bit dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, can get a bit pungent, but then again, they could also all snore. So you got to bounce this one out.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a very solid question.
You've got, apparently you've got rotting corpses of tigers and two of the former Tiger masks nearby as well. So it's really
floating in the ocean along with the helicopter driver. Jesus, this, I forgot how dark this scene was when I was talking about Harry Potter. See, I just let it forget like dark situations. I'm going to go with the nose plug because, yeah, now that, when you put it that way, there's a lot of dead bodies around me and even the alive ones. Like Joe Exotic is gonna fucking stink. Like, so yeah, no, I'm going nose plug for this.
Right, Spyro the Dragon or Crash Bandicoot?
Has to be Spyro, like 100%.
Ooh,
like he can fly, he can breathe fire. Like, what's Crash Bandicoot do? He just runs around like breaking boxes, eating fruit. That's all he does.
Yeah, and like the thing with Crash is, as soon as he breaks a box, he takes the fruit. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you don't even have a chance with the apple. It's just like box broken. There's an apple. Fuck, it's gone. So yeah, no, that's dumb. You've completely sold. That's a very, very strong argument for Spyro. Like, Spyro is how you get fire at night. Like, fucking sold. Like, Jesus, yeah, it's not even close. Whereas, like, again, you'd just be like, you'd be sleeping in the middle of the night and you'd be woken up constantly by just wow or hoopaga. I'm trying to fucking sleep. I had to give up a fucking earplug to ignore you because fucking there's loads of corpses outside. Like, so I have nose plugs. Could you shut the fuck up, please, Crash? Whereas Spyro, I don't remember as being particularly noisy. I'd say he'd be a chill hang and have fire whenever you need it. Yeah, Spyro all day.
Yeah, I've played at least one level of both of these games, so I know what I'm talking about here. And I would pick Spyro because he's very much less stressful than Crash Bandicoot, who would just be running around, smashing into the walls, annoying people, tripping over tigers, and would probably eventually just run off the edge of the cave and then add to the pile of tiger bodies in the ravine. So I think Spyro would be calmer.
Description, it sounds like you're describing Martin Steers.
I was taking a clog when I was saying that.
Brilliant. Jonathan in the chat says, is Spyro voiced by Elijah Wood on the island? Because I'd rather crash in that case. And you're forgetting that with Spyro comes Mr. Moneybags, and you don't want that negativity in your life. That's a solid point, Jonathan. I'm still gonna go with Spyro for
God
now.
Goddamn Moneybags.
Just because fucking Ubrega is gonna fucking wreck my head after a while. So yeah, no tissues. Oh, sorry, Kendall, you're here.
yes, I am. But thank you for that. Tissues or toilet paper?
I gave the game away there.
Definitely tissues because I'm sort of how I'm going to say this. It's uncomfortable to wipe your nose with toilet paper after a while, whereas tissues are multi-use.
Yeah, you can wipe your ass with tissues and toilet. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with tissues.
Same.
Yeah, I know, but it's not ideal still. Like, you don't want a tissue bum bum, like, especially when you're there for the unforeseen, like, you know what I mean? Is it worse? Yeah, especially not sharing. I'm going to go toilet paper because I could live with wiping my nose with. It's not comfortable, but you're not thinking the tissues. Tissues are very brittle. Do you know what I mean? Like,
what tissues are you using?
I use man size. I'm very happy with my tissue choice. I will not Kleenex man size. It's not even man size anymore. It's large because they had to be like gender neutral now. But I'm very happy with my choice of tissues. But again, you're not thinking worst case scenario with these. Do you know what I mean? You're thinking, right, okay, my nose gets a bit red because it's a bit rough when I have to. But then, like, tissue bum bum is not, that's not going to be pleasant. Like,
I'm saying bum bum.
I can't think of another way. Tissue wears. I don't want to be walking around with tissue wears. It's not, you don't want to live that way because I think I'm going to be more miserable with that than I think, like, because I've had points in my life where, you know, I've had a red nose and it's just a bit uncomfortable. It's not the end of the world. I can live with that. I'm not gonna. I'm sticking with tissue bum bum. Okay. maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Next, a bowl of Frosties or a football. This one's more about your company as opposed to you.
Yeah, Yeah, I need some clarification. So these Tigres FC, what are they? Yes. Are they a soccer team?
Yeah, professional soccer team from Mexico.
Oh, yeah. So I would pick a football. So, you know, that would help entertain all the athletes in the cave and they would leave me alone.
Fair.
Solid show.
Yeah, so, I think I'm going to have to agree.
Sean says tissue wire sounds like an awful medical condition. See, it sounds way worse. Tissue bum bum sounds like what it is, where it's just like, this is a minor inconvenience. You know what I mean? I'm sticking with it.
Tissue bum bum sounds like a toddler stringing words together. Like, they're trying to tell you what they need, but they can't.
I wonder what Phil is fucking thinking here. Just hearing one side of this conversation. Okay, go to football here. Tissue bum bum sounds like a goofy 80s Eurovision entry from Sweden. It sounds like a song. Tissue bum bum. I'm going to go for a football, Kendall. Don't really have much to add there.
Same.
I mean, Katie's logic is sound, but also someone's going to have to take the ball off them at some point or the ball's going to pop. And then you've got a lot of angry footballers. That's not going to really end too well.
The ball will fall into the ravine.
Yeah, it's a possibility. If it gets outside the cave, the hurricane's still outside, you know.
That's it. One just like volleys it too far and the other guy's going up for the header and then just disappears, never to be seen again. Which would be quite funny. So still football.
Justy or Justin Daniels?
Tough. Ooh.
And there's no Bears or Tigers for him to fight now, so
this is just what makes it tough. Yeah,
yeah, like, every day, Justy.
Yeah, but there's Tony the Tiger.
There is Tony the Tiger.
There's Tiger masks, and like, you know, we might get Lucha Justy again, which is always gas. But Justin, I feel, would be easier to live with in this situation, and he might put me in a TikTok, and I might get more followers.
Or, you know, they could rescue you from it with all them followers, you know, just instead of getting you.
There's my answer.
That's really good. I like that a lot. See, here's the flip side to Justin Daniels, okay? Like, he's a very intelligent and talented young person, but he's still a young person that I feel like I'm going to have to mind a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever been like...
The Corporate Keane problem.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, I'm sure he is more independent than Corporate Keane.
Yeah.
Even if he is 5 years younger. Like, I'm sure he would be better survival. I'm sure he'd like, he'd have better survival tactics. I'm sure there'd be a lot of stuff he'd be better equipped than me. I'm not... This isn't even a comment on Justin Daniels himself. I'm sure for his age, he would be quite talented. Whereas Justy brings a lot of resources to it. Also as well, the thing with Justin Daniels is I feel like Joe Exotic is going to be weird with him. Yeah. And I just don't need that. I don't think Joe Exotic is going to be that weird with Justy. I think they'd end up having to crack and becoming a bromance, and that could actually be quite fun. Whereas, like, yeah, I'm going to pick Justy here. No Bears. He does have a tiger to fight, but he hasn't stated a particular willingness to fight a tiger beyond just generally being Justy. So I'm going to go Justy here.
Yeah, Negan's here with us, and I feel like Justy would really like that. I feel like Justy would like that kind of banter.
Yeah.
You know?
What a tag team.
Justy and Negan.
Managed by Spiral.
Yeah, Justy's usually fairly reliable in a crisis as well. So, you know, he'd figure out the ravine full of tigers.
Yeah. Mm.
He'd make a raft out of them or something. Like, he'd be, if anyone could construct that, it'd be Justy.
Yeah, I'm going to say Justy as well. You've sold me on that. Also, let's not forget, I've got earplugs in case Justy starts to annoy me.
Solid. Solid. I've got nose plugs in case he starts to smell. Justy all around there.
Last but not least, a tiger mask or a mask of a tiger's face? And I'm leaving this one up to you for interpretation.
Right.
Tiger mask is a mask with tiger's face. I'm going to go tiger mask. I'm a New Japan guy. I'm going to be like, I'd mark the fuck out for that. Do you know what I mean? But also, I'd also like probably offend and annoy the other tiger masks. Whereas if it's just like, oh no, this is just unrelated, that'd be weird. It'd be weird if I was going around in a cheap little like mask of a tiger's face and they're like, we got you beat, mate. Come on. Also as well, what's worth noting, I feel like we've buried the lead. Tiger Mask W is Kota Ibushi.
Yes.
So I feel like we've really missed out on an opportunity there. But like, yeah, I don't want Kota Ibushi to be mad at me. Oh, so I'm probably gonna go with the Tiger Mask and just stay quiet and just like be like, mark it out in my mask, but nobody can see my face, so it's fine.
Dusty would know though.
Dusty would know, but he wouldn't rat me out.
True.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, he would immediately.
Kota Ibushi doesn't change my my answers because I think Justy versus Kota Ibushi for entertainment purposes
solid.
Would be gas. I don't know. I just kind of feel like a mask of a tiger's face, there's more opportunity for mischief, you know?
Yeah.
You could put it on and lure Joe Exotic to the edge of the cave and then push him off. Or
if he starts being weird with Justin Daniels, like, then yeah, it's your only recourse, like.
Or like you could just, I don't know, like just use it to hide. I don't know, like just put it on, go in behind Tony the Tiger and just like have a nap. I don't know. Just use it as a disguise.
With the audiobooks.
And there my weapon, my Pulp Fiction weapon.
A nice fire lit by Spyro. Sounds like a solid Sunday night plan. Tom, what are you thinking?
I think I'm going with the mask of a tiger's face. I've no reason, just that's my instinct.
Okay, just going with the gun. Playing the instinct game. Kent, thank you as always. Excellent questions as always. And again, I feel like I'm right here on this island now. So let's get to the rest of your questions, guys. First up, we have Dave Bandana. Dave Cullen of Talk Nerdy to me right here on the Lobos Network said, I love an old Twitter handle of Katie's. I won't read it out.
I actually went back and read every single tweet on that account and it's sorry.
You're safe. Oh god, answer to Simpsons WWE's question a couple of weeks back about the Dial-A-Thon pass incident. Dyatlov pass, sorry, I think I said that wrong. What I'd like to know is, what conspiracy would you like to see in a movie or TV series that hasn't been made yet? There's not much for me, so I'll just fly through it. I'd love to see a Marvel like what if version of if 9/11 was an inside job, like a 24 like TV series of how that would happen, how they'd have to cover it up. I'd love to, I've really sold myself in the idea. I didn't think that much about it, but a 24 version of if 9/11 was an inside job, I'd be really into. So that's me. Dom, what are you thinking? Because I know Katie's got a good answer here.
This is completely lost on me. I'm not a conspiracy person, so I'm just going to steal your answer.
Okay, fair enough. Katie, you'll probably have the best answer out of any of us here.
You see, I feel like making a TV show of a conspiracy theory is difficult if you're making like a dramatic TV series, because it's a conspiracy, we don't know the truth. You know that way? Like, I don't know if anyone's watched the recent one on the Cecil Hotel. I haven't actually watched it, but I know that case in detail. Okay. And if you aren't familiar with the case, it's about a woman called Eliza Lam, and she was found dead in the water tank of the Cecil Hotel.
Mm.
And video footage circulated of her in her elevator in the hotel, and it she was very like manic, and it like kind of looked like someone was chasing her. She was talking to someone, and people analyzed the footage and said they seen like a foot blocking the elevator door from closing. Anyway, she went missing for 2 weeks and she was found in the water tank. Netflix just released a 4-episode series on this, and in it they started tying all these conspiracy theories about the government, about Russia, serial killers who'd lived at the hotel in years previous. I think aliens were brought into it one stage, and it was this massive thing. And the actual answer was, they revealed in the 4th episode, she was someone who suffered from bipolar disorder and had had a break.
Right.
But they had manufactured this really insensitive, shitty 4-episode TV show on this supposed conspiracy. And it was just very unfair, you know? Mm. So that's what kind of turns me off about TV shows about conspiracies, because I think with the internet and stuff, people go too far into conspiracies, and, you know, it's just, it can cause a lot of hurt and stuff like that. and depending on what the conspiracy is. So what I would make a TV show isn't necessarily a conspiracy. It's just a period in history that we don't know an awful lot about. So there are some what ifs.
Okay.
And that's the Donner Party. Have you ever heard of the Donner Party?
No.
So back when America was being discovered, obviously people landed on the East Coast and then they would make trails inwards to get to the West Coast. You know, like the big convoys of like wagons and stuff, and people would make the journeys together. So it was about one of those journeys, and there was something like 50 odd wagons that were traveling together under the name the Donner Party. And this guy was trying to tell people, this guy called Hastings, that he'd discovered a new path to whatever state they were trying to get to. And he sold them on this new map. He'd never actually traveled it himself. So this 50 wagon convoy set off on this new trail, and they ended up getting stuck in the dead of winter at the foot of a mountain. And they ended up like having to build huts. They ended up having to skin their animals and start eating them. They ended up having to start eating their house and their clothes because they were stuck and they couldn't get out of this little man-made town because winter had trapped them in. Jeez. There's like rescue attempts to try get out of this town. You know, they start killing each other. They start eating each other. There's like accusations of cannibalism. And eventually out of the 100 odd people that set out, only 48 of them made it out to the other side. And there's so many conflicting reports what actually happened on that trip and that convoy. Because there's so many unreliable narrators, like so many people just experience different things. And there's so many different written things that just don't add up. And like nobody knows the real story. And I just think, I can't believe that hasn't been made into like a series or a movie yet. Mm. Like if you have 20 minutes, go onto the Wikipedia and read it. The Donner Party, they have a national park in America named after them now because it was such a big thing at the time. And it just was a warning to kind of like these pioneers who were trying to find new tracks and trails across America that this had happened, that they basically got stuck and everything went tits up for them.
Really interesting. Okay, the Donner Party. Okay, interesting. I probably will end up looking into that now because I ended up reading about the Outlaw Pass after the last one. So keep it coming. Great question, Dave. Thanks for that. Best and worst roads to WrestleMania. I'll get started off here. The North Circular Road. I don't think you're getting there. I think you're going to run into a lot of traffic. I think it's going to be unnecessary. It's not necessarily a good path, and you can't even travel. Like you can't fly. So North Circular Road for me. Dom, what's your best and worst road to WrestleMania?
21, where Batista was slowly like planting the seeds to turning on Triple H. Then when he finally did with the thumbs down, like that whole road to WrestleMania was brilliant because you also had Cena and JBL. Like Cena was just about to reach like the point of becoming WWE champion, so like he was really, really over at that point. It might not have been the best one, but I really, really like 30 because of like the whole Daniel Bryan story as well. Because like I think it was just Daniel Bryan, to be honest, but like I loved that Mania and like the whole road to him getting there, because like it looked like it was gonna be quite shit, to be honest, because they had like Batista and Orton and no one was really into that. But then when they had that Raw where Daniel Bryan forced himself into the main event, then like the week after, Triple H was like, if I beat Daniel Bryan, I'm going to be in that match. And I was like, oh shit, like what's going to happen? Worst, I'll probably say 32 was the one where everyone got injured, I think. That was the one with Triple H and Reigns. I remember not being hyped for that Mania at all. And it wasn't great anyway.
No.
But yeah, everyone got hurt and like it just wasn't a great road to Mania.
We did the podcast at that time and literally every week it was like, It was that's a solid worst road to WrestleMania, because every week it's like, well, here's another injury that we're not getting. And it was just like, the road to WrestleMania is meant to be every week a new match is added and like you're expecting something. And this was just like, here's another great wrestler that won't be appearing on WrestleMania. It was so annoying and shit. So that's a fantastic show.
The only good thing about that road to Mania was Shane coming back for the first time, but that's the only thing I can think of that I actually like. So I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, and it had to be done. Like, it felt like a move of desperation because they just needed something big. So it didn't feel like, because it was so surprising because it was so random. Because it was like Shane McMahon against The Undertaker. I remember on the show, I'd made a joke, and I've dined out on this for like 6 weeks afterwards. I'd made a joke that it's going to be Shane McMahon against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. But when it happened and I was right, I was like, That was a joke. That's because it was just so random. Like, but it just felt desperate as well, even though it was amazing because we hadn't heard that music in so long and yeah. Everything. So, yeah, no, I agree. Fantastic answer. Katie, any coming to mind for you?
I think the best is, you know, I'm terrible with like years and stuff. I think it's 35, the Kofi Kingston road to WrestleMania.
Ooh.
Nice.
That's one of my favorites just because, like, I just remember all the way to WrestleMania being like, they're going to pull the plug now. They're going to slow him down now. But they never did. It just kept rolling. And I just kept getting more and more excited. But there was still this part of me that was like, nah, it's not. It's not going to happen. But then it happened. You know what I mean? But it was like, it's one of the most exciting road to WrestleManias that I remember in the last 2 years. Like this, like when I actually read the question, I was like, Kofi's here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes that doesn't happen to me with these like event questions.
Ryan like, is a heel as well, so good.
Yeah, it was such a good run. And you know what, I couldn't tell you anything else that happened on that Mania because I'm so bad with dates and stuff. But I'll always remember how exciting like Kofi's run to WrestleMania was.
Do you remember as well, they did a gauntlet match with him, and like, because obviously the gauntlet match was what made everyone want him to be in it, but that was only for Elimination Chamber, and then they had him lose at Elimination Chamber, but he came really close, and then they did another gauntlet match. It's like, right, you get your Mania title shot, and we're all watching it like, right, here we go, you know it's gonna, and then he loses, and then it's like, right, the New Day get a gauntlet match. And then my favorite moment in all of this wasn't when they won, it was when the Usos came out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because they've been feuding and they hating each other, but they're like, nah, fuck it, you deserve it, go, we're out. And
that
it was like,
so good.
Yes,
so great many feelings show. Yeah, so many feelings. I don't have a worst, but that is definitely a favorite.
That's fantastic. For me, a serious answer, it's no surprise here, Mania 17, my way, wrestling peaked. And like, again, I always talk about this, but the way that the My Way video package wasn't just something they put out. It was something that was built, crafted week on week. Every time you watch Raw and something happens, they added a new part to the music video that by the end where it's like, they put it all together. It's the iconic video we all know, but also it's got just the story, the meaning, everything behind it. Austin's come back from breaking his neck. Rock being in a position where he's like, I've taken over and been accepted as the guy since you left, and you're now fucking with that and threatening that, but I deserve to be here. And by the way, I owe you owe me a win. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, Rock in theory should have gotten it, but it's also in Texas. So it's like, you can't just take it off the Rock. You can't. There's no way that you can just shit on the Rock after what he's done for the past year. He's the guy now. And it was two absolute alpha dogs going for each other at the absolute peak of their career. And then that's why, like, people look back and they're like, why did you turn Austin heel? That's why, because it's like, you couldn't do that to the Rock. You couldn't just have him lose after what he'd done. He went out and had an all-timer of a year and just took over from Austin, the biggest draw in wrestling history. Absolutely amazing stuff. Some good answers in the chat. Jonathan says Mania 26 with HBK aiming for a Taker. I agree.
Very nice.
Only reason I'd say against that would be the actual match itself, because it wasn't as good as 25.
Batista and Cena at that as well.
Yes, exactly. And Sean says, Flair's You Lose Your Attire is my favorite, facing MVP at the Rumble and HBK at Mania 24. And then, on top of that, all the little matches he had on Raw and SmackDown, because it was, if he lost any match, he'd have to retire. We knew where it was going, but like, we didn't know who it was going to as well. Like, is 20 worth a shout here? Foley and The Rock. Oh, yeah. 20 was a really well built up WrestleMania. It gets overlooked, obviously, because Benoit won, but like all of it. So you had Mick Foley and The Rock. You had Guerrero with No Way Out. Yes. You had Benoit as well, obviously, his road. Of course, you know, tainted, but like that was amazing. Like, Taker coming back against Kane. Yes. Oh, that is a fantastic show, because it's just they had their like 6-7 storylines, and you're like, any one of these could be a main event. You know what I mean? Yes. Fantastic answer, Kendall. Love it. Loads of great show. Right, I'm proper in Foley and Edge 22. That was also right, Mysterio winning.
And what was it?
Triple H, Cena.
Cena, yes. Okay, 22 is a sneaky great mania. I may have to watch that again now in the build-up. We might organize a tweet-a-thon. We haven't done one of them for a while. I'm proper in the WrestleMania mood now, lads. Oh, loving it. Great question, though. Thank you. Flying Brian Grillman, Brian the Maniac, got on and asked, book a super card with different promotions. You can pick whatever promotions you want, but there can only be two matches max per promotion, and the card has to have a minimum of 5 matches. We'll try to do this together because this could take an hour.
I have one written out.
Okay, awesome. Okay, Dom. Katie, are you happy to just hand the reins over to Dom?
Yes, as usual. Yes.
Do it. Go for it.
I mean, Keane usually takes it over, so I'm happy to let Dom do it this
perfect
time.
Perfect fill-in. Love it. Love it.
When Dom Tuck breaks out the notes app, you know something's gone down.
Or something's gone down.
Yeah. It's either a card's getting booked or an apology's being handed out.
I didn't go into as much detail as my WrestleMania card, so don't worry, okay?
Okay.
So, like, I only base this on, like, promotions I actually watch or invest in, because, like, I'm not, like, into, like, New Japan or Ring of Honor, so I think it would have been kind of unfair to put any of those in, because, like, I wouldn't really know any of them. So, my promotions I have on this card are AEW, and I counted NXT as, like, a separate entity, if that's okay with you.
All right.
Yeah, it's allowed. We'll allow it.
I have Fight Factory as well. Then nice. I have WWE. And yeah, I think that's the four of them.
Okay.
So the opener, it's a 6-man ladder match for AEW. It's a TNT title. It's Cody Rhodes versus Chris Jericho versus Wardlow versus Sammy Guevara versus Moxley versus Adam Page. Adam Page over. And I think that's a really good way to start it.
Okay.
I'm all right with that.
Then next, it's for NXT, Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano for North American Championship. Pete Dunne over. And now, representing Fight Factory, you're going to love this, Rick. It's the return of the Floodgates match.
Yes!
It's for the Irish Tag Team titles.
Ooh.
Club Rock Shandy versus 3/4 of the Mid-Card Mafia versus the True Pros versus Andy Steele and Owen Richards versus Phil and Justy versus Katie Harvey and Emmy Alonzi versus Rough Stuff versus the Woodbutters versus the O3 versus Adam Farrell and John Bernard versus the Gym Nasties versus Fabio and LJ Cleary versus the Woke Queens versus Morden Hype. Mid-Car Mafia over. So we beat all of those teams.
Amazing.
I'm just happy to be included.
Then for the WWE title, Drew McIntyre against Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan over. That's a bit of a bias from me, but I don't care.
No, I'm happy.
AEW, Kenny Omega versus MJF for the title. So it's a bit of an interesting one. MJF over. Then NXT again. Finn Balor versus Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly for the NXT title. Nice. Kyle O'Reilly over. And then for Fight Factory, it's the rematch everyone has wanted to see. It is the leader of the Mid-Car Mafia, Dom Tuck, versus the Lord of the Manor, Sir Paul Tracy. Dom Tuck over. And the main event, it is for the Universal title, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, versus the newly turned face, Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns over.
Ooh, okay, nice. Really like it. Well done, Dom. Solid stuff. I like booking yourself in the co-main and like no other Fight Factory members. I honestly wouldn't have picked Paul Tracy if I'd have been doing that card. So I like you got creative with it and gave me a lot of different
it's
matches.
The rematch
so.
Everyone wants to see.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it. Is
he just the only wrestler not in a tag team that you could think of?
No, it's the rematch. Like, it's the rematch.
It's definitely a rematch. Yeah, it's a match that's happened before. Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Brian, as well. Roscom Dan gets on with a good question and asks, do you think wrestlers or athletes in general who may have had a year to let their bodies recover and injuries heal would maybe feel going back and bumping and training hard would not be worth risking the pain-free time they have now? Katie, this feels like one that you'd have opinions on.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like this is probably the first time in 10 years I've been pain free. You know what I mean? And it's nice. Like I think a lot of people are definitely going to be questioning their training schedule and the way they wrestle when they come back. And they should, because you know, people are going to remember what it feels like to not get up and have your lower back seize up, or, you know, not have bumps and bruises. I like, Dom will tell you, I'm always giving out to people for overtraining, training through injuries and not taking time off. Wrestling doesn't have an off season. I've said it a million times before. People need to create their own off season. And we've just had like an imposed one on everyone. And I think everyone should be like pretty much back up to 100% when we return. They should do what they can to keep the bar that high. You know what I mean? If it means rethinking training 3 times a week instead of 4, if it means taking the odd week off to like just not train, I definitely think a lot of people will be considering that. And they should be. Like, there should be no stigma about, oh, I'm only going to, you know, I'm going to train Saturday and not Sunday. You know, just do what's good for your body, and that's it.
Like, I think it's all mental in general, like, because even the thoughts of going back and bumping again, if I thought about one bump, like, a few people have kind of got onto me and they're like, could we do something like this, like, you know, pitch me like a GM kind of, you know, wrestle a match angle, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, I kind of get into the idea of it, and then I think about taking one bump and I'm like, I'll just leave it. Like, I was just, I think I'm good. I think I've had me run. It wasn't very good, but still, I don't want to bump. Dom, like, to kind of put that into practice, where's your own head at, like, in terms of, like, you know, being pain-free and not having to deal with kind of bumps and bruises? Like, are you enjoying the comfort, or are you just dying to get back and whatever about, like, the toll it might have on your body?
Yeah, like, I definitely think he's right. Like, this is definitely something that I think a lot of people are thinking of. And, like, some people might reevaluate it once stuff actually does come back. Like, it'd be interesting to see, like, if anyone comes back and then, like, kind of dips after a few weeks. Because, like, those first few weeks are going to hit, like, a ton of bricks. But for me, like, what I'm worried about is, like, because, like, I was training, like, pretty much since 2015. I've never been, like, badly hurt or anything. Like, I'd probably take, like, maybe 2 weeks off at most. So, like, I've never had, like, an extended break. And then, like, it was gone at the start of COVID. But then it was only, like, 3 months break, I think it was. And, like, that wasn't too bad. But even the first week there, like, I felt like, oh, fuck, this is, something's different here. But after, like, this amount of length of time away, like, I think it's going to be awful. Like, hopefully it'd be grand after a few weeks. But I'm just worried that, like, everything will just feel, like, 3 times worse than it did before.
But, like, it doesn't have to be that way either, because I think when we reopened briefly there last year, we were aware everyone hadn't been training. So, like, you can ease in. The problem with you young lads is you don't understand that, and you'll just go in and take 24 bumps in a row and then take a Canadian destroyer, whereas I'm over on the mats doing my stretching and my rolls. I'm taking a Canadian destroyer. I just presume everyone does it, all right? So, like, I do think it's going to be on coaches as well to get people back safely, because if people come back and feel like a truck's going to hit them, they're not going to come back. You know what I mean? It's like a beginner. If they come in their first class and they get smashed, they're not going to want to come back. That almost happened with me. My first ever class, I took a load of suplexes. My first class, I was in bits. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, when I came back the second time, we did chain wrestling for 6 weeks and I loved it because I was able to walk the next day and I felt like I was learning and progressing. So I think it's up to everyone to just not go full pelt straight away.
Yeah.
You can't beat a bit of chain. It's fun to do and pain, like, not painless, like, stuff can still obviously go wrong, but yeah, no, I think as well, like, yeah, you've got me thinking there, Dom, with your answer. Like, for example, little things, like, the people don't really appreciate, like, I remember my first trainer, Greg Burridge, turned around to us and he goes, your body right now is sand and I'm going to turn it into stone. What you think is intolerable now will be just things that you do on a daily basis you won't even think about. So, for example, bumps hurt, like, the first time you do it, but then you take bumps and your body gets used to it and just muscle memory kicks in, and then all of a sudden you don't even feel bumps. But what people don't, like, you've never done it, don't really get is, like, running the ropes really fucking hurts when you first do it, because, like, and you get it, like, we used to get it in WIP, like, you'd always, like, have someone, and you do, like, rope running drills would be a standard kind of warmer procedure, so you'd have someone who's just starting out, like, doing a running the ropes for, like, a minute or whatever, and they'd always kind of slow down about 30 seconds into it, and they'd always ask the same question, and you kind of wait for it, and they're like, is there any an easier way of doing that. It's like, yeah, keep doing it until it doesn't hurt anymore. It's like, but that's going to be the way for all of you. You're going to like run against the rope once. You're going to be like, fucking cables. Why do we do that?
Bumping as well. It's such an unnatural thing when you think about it. Like,
yeah.
Like when you have 6 months, a year, whatever, of no bumps, and you go back to it, it's just, it's so weird.
Yeah.
You feel it so much more.
Going to be a lot of chain classes, I think, for the first few weeks of Fight Factory. Just 2 bump max per person and then a lot of chain, like just everyone easing their way back in. Yeah, no, that's a very good question, a very good point. But I think it'll be managed as well. I saw that, Kendall, by the way, in the Real Madrid match. I think everyone that was just looking forward to actually having something to do and having hobbies back. So that'll supersede it ultimately. Great question come in from Sean McGovern. Sean McSarron on Twitter. He asked, the TV executive approaches you and makes to make a show of your choice around wrestling, but it can't be a weekly wrestling show, so nothing like Raw or anything like that. Budget is not an issue, the network will pay for everything. What are you making? Are you making a WWE 24 style doc around Fight Factory episode 9, a Total Divas style reality show that follows Phoenix wrestlers, a Dark Side of the Ring style doc about the CCW press conference? You can go back in time to record footage and conduct interviews if you want, but you can't change outcomes of matches or fix botches. What are you thinking, Katie? Did anything come to mind when you saw this? The fall and fall of DCW.
I want to see that.
Like the Dark Side of the Ring is the correct answer, isn't it? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I would watch any of this. I'd watch all of it. I would binge it in a row. Do I have to come up with my own idea?
Yeah,
in theory, yeah. Like, yeah, it's not just take which one of my ideas would you like to take? The Life and Times of Two Unlimited. Just two normal lads, like, they're just do you feel it when you fall on your head? No, not really. All right, there we go, we just got home.
I'd love to remake like some of the old MTV programs, you know, like Room Raiders and stuff. Or like, yeah, Next, you know, where they just put a load of people driving around on a bus and it's a dating show. And if you don't like someone, you stop the bus and kick them off. Like something like that could be gas, like the old MTV shows.
Pimp My Ring. There you go. FFPW swerved, but it's just Phil and Justy running around dastardly backstage pranking. Yes. There you go.
That's what happens anyway.
Yeah, that's it. It's just putting cameras on reality, which I suppose is the best kind. Dom, what about yourself?
Like, I have a proper answer for this, but I'm going to give a shout out to Dark Side of the Ring. Actually, no, even better, The Rise and Fall of Courage Wrestling. I'd watch that. But I'd love like a 24 on just the Bray Gym and Fight Factory, like from the very start when it was NWA to when we closed in 2017. Like, I think that would be really interesting, especially like with the gym shows and stuff like that. Like, I can only speak from when I started, because like I started in 2015, but like the whole summer and like winter of 2016, we had like 4 or 5 gym shows, and like you had the likes of LJ Cleary, Liam Royal, like before anyone knew who they are, and they were having like just really good matches and stuff, and like some very, very interesting stuff. Like, I think people would genuinely love to see that.
Interesting.
Like a From the Vault type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you could have documentary elements and stuff like that. Yeah, interesting. I like
it. You see like NWA as well.
Yeah, yeah. And just kind of getting that side of things and kind of the lineage of it, because yeah, there's a lot of good stories from that time. What people don't really kind of, I think, know that much about me is that, like, you know, I'm a producer. Like, I From the Vault, Battle of Blanche, nobody wants to see that.
I want to see it.
No, please, no. What is it? What people don't know about me is that, like, you know, I'm a producer. Like, I have a Low Blows network, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what I like to do. And I've written scripts before, and I've written treatments and stuff. I wrote like a story that nearly ended up getting made in a writing competition into a pilot before. So I actually have, and this is an interesting one, I won't have time to get into the full story now, but
I actually, and I don't think you guys know this, I was very close to having a pilot for a reality TV show about Irish wrestling made back just before OTT started. And that's how, if you've ever heard me talk about how Joe actually approached me to help with OTT at the start, that's how that ended up happening. So basically the idea was because I'd always kind of resisted working with Irish wrestling because I had a bad taste in my mouth from how it was when I was around. And I kind of like DCW and the likes and little things that I got to see in between had kind of soured me again. Like if I'd have found Fight Factory, I might've had a different opinion, but like me and Fight Factory were just miles apart, mainly because like mine and Phil's only encounter had been in Fibbers like one night that we spoke about before. But like while they were doing their thing, I'd only really had encounters with everyone else. And I kind of saw it as an immature scene that wasn't ready for anything because you put effort into it and it'd get ruined. I ended up working on a documentary for RTE and getting to know the exec producer of that. And it did really well. Like it ended up getting an IFTA out of it as well. So they were like delighted. They just wanted to do more work with anyone who was involved. And I would talk a lot to him while we were kind of filming it and stuff like that about low blows. And obviously he was interested in it because it's like, you're starting all of this yourself from parties and stuff. Like when you tell, like we're used to it, when you tell the stories of low blows and what we do and what we built, like, and how mad and random it is. It's like, yeah, there was a band at one stage. They're like, what, what is this? So we became good mates for that. Cause you could kind of see, I was kind of doing my own thing and kind of hustling a bit. And eventually I was like, I kind of got more like closer to the scene, like true low blows. And I was like, oh, there could be something here. And I got an idea one Christmas for a reality TV show around Ireland where you tried to make it big and you got kind of like, if we could get a TV company involved and we could, that could like convince everyone to put their differences aside because it was still quite fractured and clicky. So I'm like, if you get everyone to put their, you get enough people to make a good roster. And they did. OTT ended up coming like around the same time. But the idea was like focus on particular stories. So we went as far as we recorded interviews with three different strands of stories we wanted to follow. One was Ballymun Bruiser, who'd like grown up and he was actually featured on a TV3 documentary years ago about how wrestling kind of saved his life. Because he's got a very interesting story where he could have actually gone into crime and a lot of stuff like that. But he was a nerd and he wrestled and that kind of got him away from it. But at any one stage in his life, I know like his life outside of it, we were good friends. We lived together at one stage. He could have easily just slipped and gone the other way and been in prison or dead right now. But wrestling kind of stopped that. We followed the story of Karen, so Session Ma, before she was Session Ma. I wanted to kind of get representation in there. I wanted to tell the story of a women's wrestler. And she had kind of a really good story about weight loss through wrestling. If you've ever seen pictures she's put up of like what she used to look like and then how wrestling transformed her, but also she had an even better story when you actually interviewed her, and she was brilliant in the pre-interviews. Like she was able to tell like you think that that's actually a positive story, and it is. I lost a lot of weight, but then I also ended up kind of going too far and getting like this and that and the other, and she was so giving and so open that I'm like, this person's a star. Like I remember saying it on Low Blows before OTT started. I remember giving out to OTT a bit. I'm like, you're just using her as like the token girl when like she's got crossover appeal. Not to say that I knew Session what had happened. No one could have seen how far she would have gone. But I kind of saw that like she had a lot of potential there. And we also used Joe and his brother Gary because they've quite an interesting story. And the angle with them was Joe was kind of the guy who took wrestling more seriously, but Gary was actually a bit more naturally talented than him. And they had a nice competitive relationship where they're very close and they love each other, but they are competitive. And there is a bit of like, rivalry, like they're competitive brothers, do you know what I mean? And there is a bit of rivalry where that, like, you can, but it's in a nice way, like kind of the Bellas. Do you know the way the Bellas can argue, but then at the end of the episodes they remember their sisters and they love each other? It's that kind of way. It's not that they'd like kind of fracture or anything like that, because they are so close. But it was a really three really interesting strands. Gave the interviews to the producer and he's like, yeah, okay, we can get this. Now, what we had to do was we had to delay it because Fergal Devitt was doing his, what you call it, his RTE documentary, Smack Him Up, I think it was called. So we had a bit of time. And in the meantime, OTT started. And then, like, with that starting, what ended up happening from there was, I was supposed to take the RTE producer to see an OTT show, because I'm like, finally, he can actually get to see these people and buy in a bit more, because he was a bit like scatterbrained. At one stage, he wanted to do, like, he was like, what if we could do like celebrities try wrestling show? And I was like, I do not want to do that, because that just sounds like a shit RTE operation transformation, except you're making a joke about wrestling. So then shortly afterwards, the OTT kind of fallout ended up happening. So like, it wouldn't have worked anyway. But yeah, no, that was very, very close to being made into a pilot. And we were quite confident that you're like, your man had just won an IFTA for RTE. So pretty much whatever his next project was, they were going to make it. So yeah, very close. I also have another project that I want to work on. So I'm not going to tell you what that is, because, you know, I want to do it myself. But yeah, no, so it is wrestling related. So who knows? Maybe you might see it one day. So Ms. and Mrs. style reality show for Phil and Katie, Mr. and Mrs. Small Package. who'd be the John Cena of the show? We have to shoot the dog. Total Cabrez would be a very fascinating experiment. Amazing. Yeah, so there you go. Great question, Sean. Thanks a million for sending that in. Love it. Moving on, Joe Stodge was gonna ask if you could put a saddle on any Irish wrestler and ride them around like a little horse on all fours for 48 hours. Who would it be and why?
Klong is the only answer. Klong. He has unlimited energy. Probably love it as well.
Yeah, I feel like Phil is the only answer I could give where I won't like get myself in trouble or
that's true, anyone actually.
Or, you know, so
play it safe. I'm going to think about this practically, and I'm going to think about someone who could like take my weight and it wouldn't just immediately fall down. So I'm going to go Big Liam Royal for this. I think he'd be capable of it. I don't think he'd be happy with the circumstances, but I have to put a saddle on someone. Joe has ordered it, so he'd have to go along with it. So Liam Royal is who I pick. Adam Teague, Lewis Nerd, gets on and asks, what actors or actresses do you think don't get enough credit outside of their major roles? I don't think Dave Bautista gets enough credit for his acting roles outside of Guardians of the Galaxy. He's been in some great films.
I took this slightly differently.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about actors and actresses who don't get enough credit outside of like their genre roles. You know what I mean? So who I was thinking of was Steve Carell, who has had lots and lots of major roles, but they've generally been comedy. But if you've ever seen him in a film called Foxcatcher, which is a true story of amateur US wrestling team. If you've read Kurt Angle's book, you'd be very familiar. It's about a coach shooting one of his students. He is phenomenal in that. Also in Little Miss Sunshine, phenomenal in that as well. And he's such a good dramatic actor, but obviously he's so funny that we tend to just think about his comedic roles. So I hope he's a good answer to this.
That's a brilliant answer. I hadn't thought of those two, but every time you see him do this, you're like, you should only do this. And then you're like, no, but I want to see you do Michael Scott. Yeah, no, that's a great answer. Dom, you got anything for this?
No, I watch about 3 movies a year, so fair. I'd watch the major roles, and that's about it.
Like you are keen. Like
you are keen. Yeah, you're the best. You're the best. Like fill in we could get for keen. You're so similar. Likes fantasy book and doesn't watch movies. We didn't plan this, guys. This just happened. John Cena's one research. Like just you made me think about wrestlers as actors here. John Cena is actually a very, very good actor. Like if you see him in Train Wreck or Daddy's Home, like. Guy's funny. He's way better of an actor than he is like than he was like doing funny things in wrestling. Do you know what I mean? When he tried to do like funny bits in wrestling, you're like, oh, this is a bit lame.
Like, this is just be like fiery and intense. Like, don't try be funny, John. But then when he's in roles, it's like, he's actually fucking hilarious. Okay, fair enough. You got me. Him and Trainwreck as well. I was like, holy shit. It was like Batista and Guardians, where you're just like, what? What? This is amazing. Brian Hansen gets tailed for Heisenberg, but as Hal, he is sensational.
Yes.
Brian Hansen's great.
Talk about range.
Yeah, exactly. Although I don't know if it's going to be Your Honor is one I'm looking forward to now. That's coming out next week. But it's pretty much just Breaking Bad, except he's a judge and he breaks bad. So as far as range goes, it's just awkward timing where he's playing. His next big role is the same as a previous role, but he sold me on it, so I'm definitely going to check it out. Brian Cranston is an amazing shout. Thank you, Adam, for the question. Last question we have for this week. Simpsons WWE got on and asked, what's the most illegal thing someone has ever asked you to do? When I got my first car, I was asked by someone who I used to work with to do a few drop-offs a week for him, and he'd pay me €200 to do them. I told him not a hope, and he's now locked up. Good show.
I'm actually not locked up, but yeah.
Katie, most illegal thing someone's ever asked you to do?
I don't know if anyone's ever asked me to do an illegal for fear of just like the side eye I would give them. Or else they've asked me to do something illegal and I've happily done it, not realizing it's illegal. So
that's probably happened.
Amazing. Okay, will you just give this bag to someone and then get €50 off them? Sure, no problem.
Yeah, like, I'm just here to help people.
Oh god. I there's like some money laundering scheme or something that's gonna come out like about Katie like one day where you just didn't realize it, like it's just accidental laundering. It's like, oh, I thought you meant do your laundry. Oh, Dom, anyone ask you to do anything illegal?
Like, you are familiar with the Adam Farrell donut story, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I suppose you could put that into it because, like, he told us not to tell anyone, and, like, that's a crime. Like, he stole. So, yeah.
You're an accessory.
Yeah, I don't want to be an accessory to a crime. But just to add on that, he's actually, you know, he's stolen again. Like, I can't believe I'm ratting him out on a podcast, but he recently he stole another donut. Okay, so what happened according to him was he was at the self-service checkout or whatever it's called, and like he had four donuts but one wouldn't scan. So what does he do instead of asking for help? He just walks off with all four of them. So he stole another donut. That's two times now. Adam Farrell is a donut thief. Do not let him in any of your shops.
You've got a problem, Adam Farrell. Like, you need to take a long, hard look at yourself, Shark Bay. It's funny you say that, Dom, because my story is also about Adam Farrell. And
well, what's he done now?
It's a bit different to stealing a donut. Like, you know the way, like, there's gateway drugs. There may be such a thing as gateway crimes, because I remember it was backstage at one Fight Factory show. We're just setting up the ring, and like I walk up to the thing, and Adam's like, "Here, will you help me get this out of the van?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem, no problem." So I walk up to the van that everyone's taking all the boards and stuff, and he's like, "No, it's not that van. It's not that van. Come over here." And I'm like, "Okay, what have you got another van for?" And he takes me over to this other van that's around the corner in a little alleyway, just beside like the Sheriff Youth Center. And then he just opens a van, and like I just see a lot of malnourished women in there who look like they've been kept there. And he just goes, "We sort them out for us, we find somewhere for them." And I'm like, "Fucking no, Adam, what are you doing? What are you talking about? I can't do that." And he's like, "Come on, man, I'll give you 50%. I'm like, 50% of what? And he's like, "I'll be telling that now." And yeah, no, Adam Farrell is getting into serious crime. Breaking Shark Bay is coming to a show near you. So
this is made up. That's not true, because he could not organize that.
I would like the record to state that there may have been some liberty with the truth there. please do not bang down Adam Farrell.
This is the clip that's going out for the show.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you can get him for the donuts. He did that. Like, Kento signs off saying, perverting the restless court of justice. Please let that be his gimmick. Amazing. Solid stuff. Guys, thank you very much as always. Katie, Dom, Adam Farrell, we're going to be doing an intervention in a future edition of Low Blows. Ask Low Blows. I think you need help, sir. But until next week, bye.